o'clock. So today is Easter Sunday. Some consider it to be the most important date in the Christian calendar. Adrian Warnock is the author of Raised with Christ and is one of the leaders at the Jubilee Church in Enfield and joins me to remind us of the significance of Easter. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you at Jubilee Church, not one I'm familiar with. Tell us a bit about them.
Oh, sure. So we're a church that's been going for about 10, 15 years now. But about 8, 9 years ago, we moved into a cinema in Enfield in Cineworld and started to grow quite rapidly. We had about 80 people there, but we're now well over 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a multicultural church. We've got more than 50 nationalities in the church, and a multicultural leadership team as well, which is really, really good. And we've just actually launched a site in Wood Green as well at The View. So we're meeting in Wood Green, The View this morning, and also in Enfield Cineworld every Sunday.
So you're taking over the cinemas. Affiliations for that church?
We're part of a group called New Frontiers, which is an evangelical group.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's turn our attention to Easter. Just pricey for anybody who may not know, and sometimes people don't, what Easter is about.
Yes, well, it's obviously on the Friday we celebrate the death of Jesus, and then on the Sunday we celebrate his resurrection from the dead.
Okay, so that is the core of Christianity.
Yeah, it is. And it's the thing that marks Christians out as different. It's very interesting because if you, I think when people talk about the church, they tend to think about the rows and the disagreements. You've got the Orthodox, you've got the Catholics, you've got the Pentecostals, you've got the this, the that. But the interesting thing is, although we do disagree about a lot of stuff and some of it's important, none of it's as important about the one thing we all do agree on, and that's the resurrection. I don't think anybody really would call themselves a Christian who didn't believe that Jesus rose again, and certainly all of those groups I just mentioned would believe that.
And why is it important that he rose again, to use your words?
Well, I mean, I think the point is this, that his body came alive. He became the first person, if you like, to conquer death. And I think that's the point. To a Christian, that brings us hope. We believe that there is life after death, but it's not just some kind of vague ethereal, you know, your spirit lives on, mm-hmm. but that actually when Jesus comes back, bodies will rise again, and Christians will get to live with him forever, meet him again face to face. So that's a glorious hope, and it gives hope to people who, you know, who've lost people, who've lost loved ones, that one day we'll meet again.
Okay, so anyone listening to this who's not a Christian probably would have slightly stumbled over your phrase that, you know, that people will be raised and, you know, will live again, i.e. physically raised.
That's right.
So you believe, just so I'm clear, you believe that all those people who are Christians who had a faith and a strong faith in God, if Jesus comes back today, that they will be raised from the dead.
Yes, that's right, yes.
The millions of people who have died previously.
Yes, that's right.
On this earth.
Yes, that's right. Yes. That's the Christian belief.
On this earth.
Yes, and that there'll be, if you like, heaven will be on earth. So there's a kind of merging of heaven and earth. It says that God will be with us forever.
Mm. Okay. That's a difficult one for people to get their heads around,
it is.
Really.
It's a radical view, and I think in a way it sounds so strange that it's a wonder, really, that Christianity ever grew to the dominant religion it is. Because, I mean, you know, can you imagine... I liken it to sort of us in England suddenly saying, oh, Winston Churchill came back from the dead. I mean, people would think that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, we love Winston Churchill, but to say that he came back from the dead is just nuts. And yet, you know, the church was the most rapidly growing movement of people the world has ever seen all those thousands of years ago, and it has persisted for 2,000 years.
And why hasn't this coming back of Christ happened so far?
Because he's not ready.
For what?
For what? Well, the Bible says this, that for the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And it says that he's not willing to return until, you know, the maximum number of people have turned to him. So that's what he's waiting for. And he's waiting for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, which is what obviously drove the whole missionary movement for all those hundreds of years and still does, you know, and people wanting to bring this message to everyone.
Mm. But I thought that it was about people hearing the message, not necessarily turning in to the message or believing in the message.
Well, for sure, people need to hear the message. And as a Christian, I'm not responsible for their response to the message.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the point is this, that, you know, Jesus does say he's not willing that any should perish. His desire is for all to turn to him. And so that's why the message needs to go out. Mm-hmm. The view is always that people will respond. And I know that can be quite controversial in some countries, where it can even lead to arrest or death. And that's been the case for thousands of years. And so many people have tried to stamp out the church, actually, you know, and yet it's never worked over all that time.
And it's interesting, we've been talking this morning about Lord Carey's comments about whether whether Christians feel persecuted. Do you think, as somebody who is a prominent Christian, that you're persecuted in this country?
Well, I think it depends what you mean by persecution. I mean, clearly, no one's rounding up Christians and arresting them and trying to kill them. And that's obviously has happened in this country in the past and does happen elsewhere in the world today. So I think, you know, the word persecution can be quite an emotive word. Is there some discrimination against Christians? Yes. I was reading an article just recently. I can't remember where I read it, but it was talking about all the Christians in the city, and there's a lot of Christians in the city and financial firms, yeah. And apparently it's quite a boom in all of that. But one of the things which was interesting that this article was saying was that so many of them felt too ashamed to admit that they were Christian in their work. And I sometimes say that coming out, if you like, as a Christian can sometimes today be harder than to come out, as a homosexual or whatever, that actually we feel so nervous about what people will think. And I think it's more in that field and more in the concern about discrimination, really, perhaps than true persecution.
Mm-hmm. This Easter story, which, as you have yourself have said, is quite difficult to believe in, is something that seems now to be more about, less about what you've told us and more about the Easter eggs and the holidays and things like this. So how do you think the church can get this message back into its sort of central position?
Well, I think at the end of the day, if anyone listening wants to hear that message, it will be preached at pretty much every church up and down the land today, of whatever background and ilk. So I think that's the first method. And really, it's the main method. The preaching of the word has always been the main method that the church grows. Mm. And linked to that, obviously, you know, people sharing this message with their friends and their colleagues. And that's one of the things why it's a shame that people feel embarrassed to admit that they're a Christian to their workmates. That's really how it's worked. And then, of course, demonstrating the love of God. I mean, I think you mentioned something about soup kitchens. Mm. I mean, we run a food bank. 50 people a week come to our food bank to take food away. And that's a practical demonstration of the love of God. We don't do that in order that people would become Christians. We do it because we've been changed, because of the desire in our hearts to show the love of God to people. And yes, maybe some of them will become a Christian, but really, the church has always been about demonstrating the love of God to the world, whatever their faith.
Because actually, I mean, the other thing one presumes is that there are so many different faiths in the world today. Some people would say that Christianity isn't the only way and would have difficulty with the idea that unless many millions are Christians, that there won't be any return and there won't be a heaven on earth.
Right. Well, look, I think if you were to have a Muslim sitting here who believed in his faith, he would say, I believe in my faith. I'm a Christian. I believe in my faith. Mm. I think what's really important is that in the modern world, people are allowed to disagree. And I think this maybe speaks a little bit about some of Carey's concerns, because I think there does seem to be a drive for us to sort of not talk about our faith or not to believe our faith, really, and to just pretend that we all agree. Whereas the reality is, I would disagree with a Muslim, he would disagree with me, but we can still be friends, And I think that's really important.
But when you dialogue, interestingly, between a Christianity and Islam, both evangelical in their outlook, both wanting people to come to their faith. Your dialogue isn't about, let's find out how lovely each of us are. Your dialogue is about, I believe what I believe, you believe what you believe, and I'm hoping that one of you will jump the fence to my side.
Yeah, that's for sure, but you can still be respectful in that. I mean, I was, funnily enough, we're talking about Easter today, but at Christmas I was sitting in a nativity at our school, and it's not a Christian school, it's a state school, but they actually were doing a nativity, which is obviously one of the controversies that comes up. But I actually happened to be sitting next to a friend of mine who was a mother of a Muslim child, and a Muslim herself, it's a Muslim family. And I said to her, so are you offended by this? And she said, of course not. Mm. Because for her and for me, we both want our children to learn about each other's faith and to be respectful in society. Mm. And it's a funny thing, because I think it's often people perhaps of no faith who have more of a problem with that rather than people of faith. And so in a sense, I've got more in common with a Muslim than I do with an atheist, for example, because we both have our faiths. And yes, I'd like them to change and they'd like me to change, but we can still be friends,
I mean, this weekend witnessed there's Trafalgar Square. There was a big passion play in Trafalgar Square, and there were thousands upon thousands of people. Now, I wonder about, that, of course, is an immediate thing. We had the actor who was playing Jesus in the week before, who's lovely. I wonder whether there is something about that that needs to be utilized in more ways around the ways Christians communicate. So that's an immediate thing. You watch it.
Yeah.
It's a play. There, you know, there's social media. Yeah. I know you're quite big on that. So are there new ways of doing things that Christians need to look at?
I mean, I think, you know, social media is great. Plays is great. One of the interesting things is that at the moment, the most popular TV show in America is actually called The Bible. It's on the History Channel. It doesn't look like we're getting it over here at the moment. I don't know quite why, but it's broken all records, and it's just a dramatization of the Bible story. And people are scratching their heads. And it's funny because I think, you know, a few years ago we had The Passion of the Christ, everyone was like, but why is that done so well? And of course people thought, oh, it's just because it's Mel Gibson. But actually I think there's a real hunger still for people to learn about faith, and, you know, to use the modern ways of doing that. It's great, but it will always be a bridge to the old-fashioned way of a guy or a woman in some cases standing up there with a Bible explaining this message. And I think that is going to be the most fundamental thing. But these other things are bridges to that, if that makes sense.
Adrian Warnock, thank you very much for coming in this morning. Lovely to meet you. Adrian Warnock is the author of Raised with Christ. We've been talking about the resurrection throughout the morning, taking your calls on that. 0207 224 2000. What are your views on the resurrection? And also, do Christians get a hard time in this country? 0207 224 2000, 7:30. Time for the news headlines.